There needs to be about five more verses to that song. You would open your Bibles to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. Beginning in verse 1 down to verse 8. It says here, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law, how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And so here we read that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. You know, we find in this text a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. You know, they were frequently seeking to confound Jesus and his disciples of breaking the Sabbath. They're trying to find some crime, some sin, some guilt that they could pin upon Jesus and his disciples, and so they could use that against him. They sought to do so that they could put Jesus to death. For such was the penalty for doing work on the Sabbath day. Here they accuse Jesus and his disciples of violating the Sabbath rules regarding work, and specifically the harvest. And so we're going to look at this passage together and notice several things. First of all, that there is an insufficiency. There was insufficient food for the apostles, for the disciples. Two, there is an indictment that is made against them. There are some implications that Jesus gives us. And finally, we see the identity of who the Son of Man is, who the Lord of the Sabbath really is. And so let's begin in verse 1 there. It says again that at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and the disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. So simply put, these were hungry men. Many of Jesus' disciples were poor, and they had little money. It was permitted in the law that they could eat from the corners of the field. In the book of Leviticus, in chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, it was such written in the law, it says, And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy fields, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. And so the Lord put this commandment in place to provide a means for the poor to be able to feed themselves. We see this law in action in the book of Ruth, in Ruth chapter 2. Where she was allowed to glean from the fields of Boaz, and he commanded his reapers, in a sense, to be extra sloppy with their work so there would be more for her to glean. Notice in Ruth chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. And so the corners of their fields, the edges of the fields, they were not to harvest at all. Anything that fell on the ground, they were to leave on the ground. That was the law to provide a means for the poor, those that had no land, those who maybe suffered crop failure. They could find enough grain perhaps to help them survive and help them to get by. And so there was a means by which this could be done. But the problem is that this was done on the Sabbath day. And we know that the law of Moses forbade working on the Sabbath day upon penalty of death. You know, that's what they were really seeking, is the death penalty for Jesus and his disciples in this. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 14 and 15, there it says, the law reads, "Ye shall keep the Sabbath thereof, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." And so it was clearly contrary to the law of Moses to do work on the Sabbath day. Now, eating was not forbidden on the Sabbath. They had to eat. And so what they were doing was it considered work. You know, they were plucking the grain. They would crush the ears of grain in their hands and then, you know, blow away the chaff. What would be left would be a little pile of grain, and apparently they were just eating it raw like this. And so they were eating it. Was this work? Were they working or were they eating? And so there's the difference. The law did not specifically address their situation. And we learn that God has a great desire to care for the poor. Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, it says there, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land." And so again, that went along with the not harvesting of all of the grain of their field, to leave it for the poor, leave it for the needy, leave it for those that were homeless, leave it for those that were passing through so that they could gain some sustenance and gain some food. And so what they were doing was eating. They were not working on the Sabbath day, yet the indictment is made against them. In verse 2, it says, "When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." They were eating. It says it's not lawful to eat on the Sabbath day. Certainly not. It was lawful to eat on the Sabbath day. But they're accusing them of working on the Sabbath day. They saw what the disciples were doing. They condemned it. They accused them directly. They said that thy disciples do that which is not permitted on the Sabbath day. It was definitely unlawful to harvest on the Sabbath. When the children of Israel were fed with manna, while they're wandering in the wilderness, they received no blessing on the Sabbath day. They were expected to harvest 2 days on the sixth day. And so as we read in Exodus chapter 16, verse 29, again, this is in the context of the manna and how they were to gather the manna every day for 6 days and a double portion on the sixth day, so they would have no need to gather on the seventh. And so it says, Exodus 16:29, "For that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, wherefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." This, however, was a special situation where God was directly giving bread to people who were living in tents. This did not cover the situation where the poor were homeless. This didn't cover the situation where the poor were wandering through fields homeless on the Sabbath day. This didn't cover the situation where the poor were caught traveling on the road on the Sabbath day. This didn't cover the situation where the poor had nothing to eat, unless they gathered it for themselves. And so they say they're doing that which is not permitted on the Sabbath day. They're doing that which God does not approve, is what they were saying. Now, how did the Pharisees know that God would not approve of this situation? You know, they assumed they knew God, but really they didn't know Him. You know, Paul wrote about that situation in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. He said, "My brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." See, they thought they knew what God would approve of or what God would not approve of, and yet they did not know God. They had a zeal for God, but it was not according to actual knowledge of God. And there is the problem. You know, the lesson to us is that we need to know who God is. to apply His Word appropriately to our lives and to every situation that we look at. You know, we are to judge with righteous judgment. Righteous judgment comes based upon the Word of God. You know, John 1:18 tells us that Jesus came to reveal to us who God really is. You know, it says there, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Christ came to show us who God is, to show us the love that God has. And so their indictment of the disciples for gathering this grain and eating it on the Sabbath day was unjust. It was unrighteous. It was hypocritical. And so Jesus then addresses this situation and makes a couple of implications. He sets forth actually three implications. First, the Pharisees did not condemn David when he ate the showbread. Remember again, he said in verses 3 and 4, "Have you not read what David did when he was a-hungered and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests." Now the showbread of the temple was for the priests alone. It would be baked. There were these loaves that they were placed on the table of showbread, and they would sit there for, they were put there on every Sabbath day, and they were eaten by the priests. And Leviticus, say that word 10 times fast, 24 verse 9, "And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is the most holy unto him, of the offering of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute." And so this is addressing those loaves of bread that were placed there on the table. They were to be eaten by the priests and the priests alone. For anyone else to eat those things, it would be in violation of the law of Moses. Yet David unlawfully ate this showbread. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 21, in verses 3 through 6, David is being pursued by King Saul, trying to again kill him, and he is being pursued. And there it says in verse 3, as they're fleeing, they come to the temple, or they come not to the temple, but to the tabernacle, and that they approach the priest there, and it says, "Now," David says, "Now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women." And David answered the priest and said unto him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. And so here David is being pursued by King Saul, he and his men. There is no other recourse for them but to go to the tabernacle and to beg the priests for food. The priests say, "We had no food other than this bread, this hallowed bread," and they allowed him to eat it because of the situation he was in. And so the Pharisees, they don't condemn David. You know, they consider David, you know, the great king of Israel. The Pharisees held David to be their hero. The implication was that they were inconsistent and partial in their application of the Mosaic law. They were only applying it in a certain situation because they wanted to find something they could pin on Jesus. Number two, the priests themselves worked on the Sabbath day and they were not condemned. Notice verse 5. Matthew 12. "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" You know, there were special sacrifices that had to be made on the Sabbath day. You know, they had a daily sacrifice. It continued on the Sabbath day, plus there was an additional sacrifice made. In Numbers chapter 28 and verses 9 and 10, there the law says, "And on the Sabbath day 2 lambs of the first year without spots, and 2 tenths deals of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And so, in effect, they were even working more on the Sabbath day than they did on regular days because there were an additional sacrifice made. Now, obviously, the prohibition to work on the Sabbath did not apply to the priests and the service, their service to God. If the priests were allowed to work on the Sabbath to perform the services of God, then could not Jesus and his disciples eat a small meal in God's service as well? And again, how much of a meal are you going to get out of breaking up the little heads of grain and eating the grain thereof? Not very much. It would take a lot of grain, really. They're eating a small meal. The implication was that not all work was forbidden on the Sabbath day. So even if what they were doing was considered work because they were working to feed themselves on the spot, they were doing it in God's service, just like the priest did. And then a third implication is found in verse 7 when Jesus tells them they did not know the meaning of I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He's quoting from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, where Hosea wrote, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." You know, the Pharisees were all wrapped up in the letter of the law, so they could not see the mercy of God through the law. They had forgotten that God takes care of the poor and that God is merciful to those who are in need. In Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24, Jesus, here again, he excoriates the Pharisees and the scribes for their hypocrisy. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgments, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, ye strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." And so they were, in effect, they were very serious about keeping the law of tithing, so much so that they would go and they would weigh their spices, and they would take out a certain amount of their spices, and all of that would be donated or given as part of their tithe. And so the implication was that the Pharisees didn't have any mercy in their lives. They were so busy looking at, "You must do this, you must do this, you must do this," that they forgot the reason for which the law was put into place. The law was not put into place for God's benefit. It was put into place for man's benefits. And so we learn from this that even when we are guilty of sin, God can be merciful to us and not exact the full punishment required. Psalms 103, verses 10 down to verse 13 tells us, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As for the east, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And then we see, finally, the identity of who truly is the Lord of the Sabbath. In verse 6 it says, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Verse 8, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And so Jesus sets forth his identity and the bottom line. He is greater than the temple. He is Lord of the Sabbath. By setting forth that Jesus was greater than the temple, he is claiming divinity. You know, the only one greater than the temple was the one who dwelt therein. In Matthew 23, verse 21, Jesus there said, "Whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein." And so when he said that one is greater than the temple, he is affirming his divinity. If there were anyone who knew the meaning of the laws of the Sabbath, it was its author. Jesus knew what was and what was not permitted on the Sabbath because he was the one who wrote the law. We know that the disciples had not done anything wrong because Jesus said they were guiltless. He says in verse 7, if you had known what this meaneth, I will mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. It was the Pharisees who did not know the law as well as they thought. In Mark 2:27, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now the Pharisees had so distorted God and his word that the Sabbath became a burden for man, when it was supposed to be a relief, when it was supposed to be a blessing. Jesus knew the true purpose and so defended the disciples against this baseless accusation. You know, from this we learn that God cares for his people. Matthew chapter 6 verse 26 tells us, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 tells us, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The creator of the universe cares for you, cares for each of us. And so in this passage we find an insufficiency. Yet God God cares for the poor. We see the indictments. But this passage lets us know God and his word are not so improper. We are to know God and his word so that we will not improperly indict someone. We will not judge them unrighteously. The implication again made that God can be merciful even when one has sinned. And the identity, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. You know, the Bible tells us in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, God cares so much for his poor and sinful creation, for God so loved the world. His love moved him to acts that he gave. His love was so great toward his creation that he gave his greatest possession, his only begotten Son. His mercy is open to all, that whosoever believeth on him, those who believe in him, he will pardon and withhold the wages of sin. They should not perish. To those who believe on him, not only will he mercifully hold back the wages of sin, but he gracefully bestows upon them eternal life. They will have eternal life. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If so, show your belief by your works of obedience. In James chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, there we read, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But we must act upon that belief. You know, God loved the world so much that he gave. He made an action. He put a plan in place. He sent his Son to die. We must obey that Son. John 14:15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And we know from 1 John 5, verse 9, that his commandments are not grievous. You know, we must believe that he is the Son of God, and we must act on that belief. Repent of our sins. That means to change our life. Confess Christ. Not be afraid. Not be ashamed of him. And be baptized to have our sins washed away. And then live a life faithfully dedicated to him. Perhaps you're here tonight and you have not dedicated yourself to Christ. You have not given yourself to God. We urge you to do so, to respond to his love. The love that sent his son to the cross, respond to it in obedience to him. Obey the gospel, become his child today. If you're here today as an unfaithful child, we urge you to come back, to repent once again. Tonight, if we can help you to respond to the Lord's invitation, you should come forward as together we stand and as we sing.